Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Hello and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike, and welcome to our Season 5 Summit.
If you're joining us for the first time, our Summit episodes succinctly summarize our season through 4 different lenses: visitorship, environment and wildlife, history, and hiking trails.
Our Summit on visitorship examines crowdedness, accessibility, location to civilization, and a whole manner of things you might be curious about when you're visiting one of these parks.
Our Summit episode on wildlife explores the delicate ecosystems of the parks from this season and the lands that surround them through the lens of their flora and fauna. And our Histories Summit examines the past and present issues going on in the park from many perspectives, but especially that of the indigenous people that originally called the stolen parkland their home.
This summit is all about the hiking trails in the national parks we visited this season, which include New River Gorge National Park in the land also known as West Virginia, Theodore Roosevelt National Park in the land also known as North Dakota, Badlands National Park in the land also known as South Dakota, and Indiana Dunes National Park in the land also known as Indiana.
And to help you out, this hiking trail summit is sort of like the ultimate appetizer sampler of hiking trails from this season. So I love a good appetizer sampler.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, what are some standard staples that we find in appetizer samplers?
Potato skins, mozzarella sticks.
Absolutely.
Nachos.
Chips, salsa.
Jalapeno poppers.
Guac, spinach and artichoke dip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're creating like your own version of an appetizer sampler for like an event you're hosting at your home. What three things are you going to put on the appetizer sampler?
So it's like kind of like a charcuterie board of like crappy food.
Okay, great.
That we shouldn't be eating, but we love to eat anyway. So this is interesting. What would I put on an appetizer sampler for myself at a party I am hosting? Well, I feel like there'd be a pile of olives. That'd be one thing.
Just
like
for
pitted olives.
Mm-hmm. Just for because I'm not going to touch them, but just for you.
If it's for a party at my house, usually it's just me. So.
And there it is, everybody. Queen of the night herself.
Okay, so a smattering of olives.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like potato skins are sort of like, they're real good. There's like cheese, bacon, kind of like, And then I'm trying to think of like another like, oh, and then like, you know what? Let's throw a bloomin' onion on there too.
Oh, yes.
It's a random assortment of things, but it's my assortment.
That sounds fun.
Just for me. Mm-hmm. And what about you?
Okay, I think I want to riff on kebabs. I love kebabs and what they, you know, just the idea of lots of different things on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I want sort of certainly a savory kebab with like grilled tofu plus some veggies and maybe like some sort of like soy drizzle over it. I'm into that. I also want like a sweet one. Like I'm inspired by like our friend Lauren did this like watermelon wedge thing with this like drizzle on it that I was like, I will never eat watermelons without this drizzle on it.
Yeah, it was like a lime, oil, lime and like red chili pepper flakes.
And also jalapeno.
Yeah.
So I do like a watermelon
kebab.
kebab with like maybe pineapple too, and maybe some other melon or something
so
on it.
So an edible arrangement kebab.
Exactly. Mm. And then, but with that drizzle on it.
Okay.
And then I think I would have brie on the side.
Okay.
Just some brie and some chutney and some like wheat thins.
Think of brie. Think of brie fondly.
Yep.
When you eat some cheese.
They just write themselves.
They do. So let's take a look at hiking trails from this season. While we may have investigated these trails over the course of the season, in this episode we'll be looking at them in a different perspective and also through the lens of comparison, things we love. Some things we're going to dig into include our favorite hikes, signage, trail markers and difficulty levels, sights to see, and the best payoff views.
Before we get started, we would like to acknowledge that while hiking in Indiana Dunes National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, Kaskaskia, Potawatomi, and Miami people.
While in Theodore Roosevelt National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Mandan, Hidatsa, Arikara, Crow, and many other indigenous peoples.
While in Badlands National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Cheyenne, Ocheti, Chicoan, and Minikoju people.
And while in New River Gorge National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Monoton, Tupelo, and Yuchi people.
Let's talk about each of the hiking trails that we covered this season. First up are the hiking trails in New River Gorge. Generally speaking about trails in New River Gorge, like what immediately comes to mind?
Forest.
Green.
Yeah, green.
Lots of really views. Cool payoff views.
Yep, views for sure.
Views for days.
The river.
Canopy.
The river.
River.
Yeah. Yep. Those are words that come to mind in our free association for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I not feel like, that difficult. Like generally speaking.
There was nothing that was like a...
Nothing we
like,
did.
Nothing like a 10 by any means.
No.
But there were some things that were, I guess they're sort of what we experienced like mid-level in our Karen Stone scale. Challenging. We didn't do like the Lost Mine Trail. I know we had wanted to do that.
There's
and that's a long one. Yeah.
There's a big loop that I would like to go back to next time when
next
we go
time we're
back
there.
And go.
We will be there at some point again, for
we
sure.
We will. Mm-hmm. We'll do that loop.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Canyon Rim Boardwalk. This is right by the Canyon Rim Visitor Center.
Yeah.
It's a whole bunch of stairs that one can take all the way down, and you can see the view of the bridge and the gorge
and the gorge,
whole time.
Yeah. It's a great trail, the boardwalk. There's a bunch of steps, so you do have a little bit of a viewpoint, like right when you go out onto like the first platform. And if I remember correctly, you can walk a little there before you hit your stairs.
So it is
somewhat accessible.
That first platform is definitely wheelchair accessible.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this very much.
Yeah.
And definitely easy because it's right at the visitor center.
And it's kind of like a nice starting point. Like I would say this is a great trail to do just to kind of get a sense for the landscape and to also look at the New River Gorge Bridge, which is, you know, it's very prominent within the park and it's part of what makes the park special because of its engineering marvel. It's the longest steel span in the Western Hemisphere.
And if you're not a hiking trails person, Canyon Rim Boardwalk is a great thing to do. Let's talk about, it's not a trail, but the scenic drive.
Right, the Fayette Station Road Drive.
This drive. Everyone must do this drive.
Yeah, it's great. You get a sense for, again, the gorge. You get to see a little bit more of the geology. There are some trails on the other side of the Fayette Station Bridge that we started, but it was closed off, I think.
Yeah.
So there are some trail junctures from here as well. But it's really cool because when you get to the Fayette Station Bridge, which used to be the bridge that crossed the gorge prior to the New River Gorge Bridge being built, you can see this bridge and then also take in the new bridge. So it's a really neat experience to have in perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were there like right after it had rained and it was a beautiful, like, just
gray,
like
sort of
gray, but also the green of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, there is not on the list, but we need to put it on this list, that tiny little offshoot trail we did from the scenic drive.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
There's a number of them.
Yeah,
do them. They're great.
Yeah,
they're great. This one like took us right by a waterfall. It was closed after a section, so it was honestly not even a quarter of a mile. So like then we just went back to the car, but it was great. Let's talk about the Long Point Trail.
No, this is a trail we've done twice. Yeah.
We've done it twice.
Yeah. It's great.
And I do it again.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of, it made me really feel like it's, you're in kind of deep forest. There's like rhododendron bushes, like a certain point that you have to kind of pass through. It reminded me a little bit of some hikes that we did in Pisgah National Forest.
Yes.
Like there's
North Carolina.
Yeah. There's definitely like this element of like, I feel like you're going into like a secret world. And
it
then
is.
You get to this point, which is wonderful. And you have this incredible, I mean, even before you get out to the end of the point, first of all, you can see the New River Gorge Bridge. And then secondly, there's all these offshoot like views to the right and left as you're walking out the point.
Basically, Long Point is, it's almost like a bald, like a narrow bald that you get to right at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, like a fin shooting out into into the gorge. And that's what you're on top of at the end of the trail. And so you can take in literal like 360 degrees of panorama views.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really great.
And lots of like tunnels of trees.
Yeah.
What about the Sandstone Falls area?
This was great too. I mean, this is also a fairly accessible trail system. It's pretty flat. There are some bridges that you go over to get out to Sandstone Falls. Sandstone Falls has like a platform viewing area of the falls. You can see the falls not super closely, but it's, I would say it's a similar distance view from the end of the trail as well. Mm-hmm. Like you can see the falls pretty immediately.
Yeah.
Like first of all, from the parking lot and then a little bit on the trail.
And then like you get to like the end of this sort of boardwalk system, which a lot of it is wheelchair accessible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you can really see the falls at the end there.
Yeah. Then there's the little
the Island Loop Trail,
which is like a great little lovely jet off that just is like kind of a U that comes.
It's like almost a mile long.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Worth it entirely flat the whole time.
Yeah.
And it gives you like a small nature trail off the boardwalk if you want that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically New River Gorge is full of options is what we're saying.
Yeah.
As
totally.
As like, you know, things to do. My favorite, I think, trail in New River Gorge that we did, other than Long Point, because I do love that trail, is the Big Branch Trail.
Yeah, Big Branch was amazing. I wonder what it's like in a different season, because we were there when it had just rained. It was kind of like springtime melts, and just like, I feel like, you know, there was probably more water happening, more rain. So we got some really incredible falls views. And we did the hike in the way that it's not recommended, which actually, I think this
I
should
totally
be the way you do
this.
It.
Yeah.
Where you're actually traversing up the falls.
So that the falls are on the right as we were ascending the trail. This is a great trail. This is definitely on the more difficult end of things.
Yeah, I would say it's probably the more challenging trail that we did the entire time.
There was definitely incline. There was definitely decline coming
and
down.
And crossing the river. And if it's high, it could be a little precarious as we experienced.
What a wonderful trail this is.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Yep.
Let's talk about the Grandview area.
Grandview has a lot of trails. Some of them are short and some of them are on the longer side. So there's three kind of main trails that are here. There's a fourth that we didn't do, but that was a little bit more inland. And we wanted to really be like right against the edge of the gorge, like, and to be able to see the river. Tunnel Trail, you don't really get river views, but it's cool. It's like enchanted forest, like stone steps, walking through like broken stone, like
it's
kind
a short
of like
loop.
Mystery. Towards the end, you go underneath sort of like an overhang in the rock. It's a great trail.
It's only like, it's a half mile one way.
Yeah, but it's
very
great.
Short, but it's a great trail. So if you want a trail that's like, you know, easy to do, but fun and a little different, then Tunnel Trail
absolutely.
Is it for you. Let's talk about Castle Rock Trail. So Castle Rock Trail is nestled sort of against the gorge wall and will take you right along the gorge wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very long. It's only 0.6 miles one way because essentially like
you
up above
up.
At the top is the Grandview Rim Trail.
Right.
This is down below closer to the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you can do it and are interested, highly recommend
because
getting close to those rocks like that against that wall is so cool.
Yeah. And you do get some good views here and there through the like open trees. A lot of rhododendrons here too. Again, kind of climbing through like a secret forest world. I did like this trail a lot.
Yeah.
And it's it's a different kind of feel. It reminded me of Petroglyphs Trail in Mesa Verde, because you're underneath something and then eventually you go up top to come back.
This was really cool, and it was also on the more difficult end.
Yeah.
There's definitely up and down. There's definitely like a grunt to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
So just things to note.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about the Grandview Rim Trail.
Well, this is a long trail. So this again links up with the Castle Rock Trail, or you could just take it there and back. It takes you out to another viewpoint, Turkey Swamp Overlook, I believe is what it's called.
That's what it's called.
And this is a great view. Like this is
It's called Turkey Spur Overlook.
So Turkey Spur Overlook, Turkey Swamp is a place that's in New Jersey. Turkey Spur Overlook is a great overlook. It's definitely some climbing that's involved to get up to see like into this like kind of natural rock formation. And then when you're up there, there are all these kind of platforms. Like it felt like a very felt like an adult jungle gym kind of up at the top.
Yes.
Like one of those playgrounds where it's like, here's a turret and then here's a bridge that crosses into the other turret. But you got some really, really good views of the river up here, which is different from just the Grand View Overlook at the beginning. It's a longer trail, but it's a nice walk too. There's a big section of decline that I remember doing here, and we're like, oh, gonna have to go back up this again eventually. But for the most part, it's pretty flat.
Yeah. And the overlook at the end has incredible views.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Highly recommend going up there. It's a lot of fun. And finally, let's talk about the bridge walk.
Well, the bridge walk isn't really a
trail. It's not a trail.
It's an experience.
Yeah, it's an experience mm-hmm. that requires ticketing.
Honey, I'm not a trail. I'm an experience.
That's our Real Housewives tagline.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
Think. Mm-hmm. And, but we can't talk about New River Gorge and walks and things and experiences without talking about the bridge walk. We do have an entire episode about the bridge walk with Brad and Grandma Joy mm-hmm. of Grandma Joy's Road Trip. Do go listen to that mm-hmm. From this season. You'll hear the whole story there. Do we recommend the bridge walk?
Yes.
Yeah, I would recommend it, even though it's like,
if you're not a fan
terrifying
of heights, it might be hard for you.
I'm not a fan of heights. I survived it, and I have said that I would do it again because the views that you're able to get from up there, the clothes that you're going to get.
Yep, exactly.
Devil Wears Prada, mm-hmm. everybody.
Always.
Of it all.
Forever.
But the views that one gets from up there
it's amazing.
Are just amazing.
You can see people rafting on the river. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is, just be prepared for walking a little bit and stopping.
Yep.
To walk from one end of it to the other would probably take 15 minutes, but they make it sort of like a 1 hour experience.
Exactly.
So it's a lot of walking and then stopping and hearing some from the guide and then looking down, taking mm-hmm. photos, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you're someone who's prone to drop things, I would say like put your phone on like a lanyard around your neck if you're going to take photos or things are
attached. We saw that recently. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are our thoughts on signage for New River Gorge?
There's not a lot.
There's not a lot, but also like...
But you don't really need it.
Don't really need it.
It's very clear trails.
Trails are pretty clear. There's not a lot of interconnectedness with the trails. So it's sort of like you're only headed to like there's not
there was
a
no
lot
head
of,
scratching on our part when it came to like what we were supposed to do next.
And there's not really like a sort of thing where it's like you've reached the terminal point of the trail. There's no signage like that, at least that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
But there's usually a thing you get to that you're like, oh, right, this is the thing I was getting to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best view.
I think it's Long Point Trail. I think it's like you just get such an incredible sense of, especially if you see the bridge from the visitor center first, from Canyon Rim Visitor Center, and then you do the Fayette Station Road drive, and mm-hmm. then you do this, which is what we did. I think that was a really cool way to gain so many different perspectives on the bridge.
Totally.
And seeing the view from Long Point was just like, ugh, it's beautiful up there.
I agree. Yeah. I think Long Point is my favorite view. I will say, however, second place for me is the view of the gorge and the bridge and the everything all around from the center point of the scenic drive, which is that Fayette Station Bridge, as mm-hmm. you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. that's an amazing viewpoint.
Yeah.
Okay, so favorite hike in New River Gorge?
I think it's probably I mean, because we did it twice, it's going to also be the Long Point Trail. Because we got to do it with two sets of people. And again, we've consistently said the human factor is where it's at. And it just was like cool because we got to see it at two different times of the year. One where it was springy and stuff was just starting to emerge, and once in the fall. So it just was very different experiences there. And I just think it's a really nice trail to be able to experience.
I'm going to agree, but also say a close second for me is the Big Branch Trail.
Sure,
because of the proximity to at least three gushing waterfalls that are amazing. And we mean like gushing waterfalls.
Gushing.
These weren't like, you know, all waterfalls are beautiful, but like it wasn't like a small trickling waterfall. It was like a gushing waterfall, which was super.
Say gushing again.
Super gushing.
Do you have stock in gushers? Because I think you
should.
I might
as well.
Yeah. Great. And so we're doing something a little special. We're going to give a special award for a trail experience here in New River Gorge.
Okay, so I'm going to be... The special award that I'm going to give is to New River Gorge is the award for... here we go. I'm giving them the appetizer sampler award.
Oh, okay.
I'm giving them this award for having so many different kinds of options when it comes to engaging with this park, because there's like scenic drive, there's strenuous trails, there's very short, lovely trails, there's boardwalk options, there are not to even mention, I mean, we've mentioned it elsewhere, like in the visitorship summit, but like the zip lining and the climbing and the whitewater rafting.
Yep.
There are so many ways to engage with New River Gorge, so it's getting the appetizer sampler award for me.
Great. And I'm giving it the Wet and Wild award.
Oh. Tell us about it.
Because
is a park.
Because
this is sponsored by Wet and Wild.
That's
not
right.
Really, no.
And
that's
wet,
a makeup
and
company.
And Wet Seal.
Wet Seal.
No, because this is a park that is very much so surrounded by, informed by, its trails very much so engage with the river. And engage with water. And again, haven't talked about it, haven't done it yet, but there's whitewater rafting to be done here, like, which is also a major kind of part of the park and the experience that one can have within the park. But I feel like the river was such an important part in so many spaces and so many hikes that we did. So it's getting the Wet and Wild award from me.
I like it. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Okay, let's now move on to Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
Great.
Okay, so we did quite a few trails here.
We did.
There's a lot to take in.
There is.
The North Unit and the South Unit.
And the Elkhorn Ranch Unit, which we didn't do.
We didn't do, but...
It's small.
The one that most people visit is the South Unit, which is near Medora.
Which is like right off the highway.
Right off the highway. The North Unit is an hour north crossing a time zone.
Fun times and time travel.
Well, it crosses the time zone and then goes back into...
It's wild.
It's like
it's
you
weird.
Go into Central and then you come back into Mountain. Because straight lines are things we can't do all the time. So
no.
Okay, great. So
unless you're at Target,
apparently. So
I'm coming for you in the comments, Target.
That's right. Okay. So, the first trail we did here was the Petrified Forest Loop.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this trail.
This is a great trail because you got so many different landscapes, and I love that about it. Because you were on the Petrified Forest North, then you were in the Mahade Trail, and then...
Mahade.
Damn it, I always do that. Mahade. And then you go back into Petrified Forest again,
which was
great. Like, so you got Petrified Forest and grassland, which was really
cool. And we say Petrified Forest, but it's not like you're surrounded by trees.
No.
You're surrounded by pieces of petrified wood.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been or go to the Petrified Forest National Park
in Arizona,
that also contains the Painted Desert. I mean, both at the same
painted
time.
Painted Desert is adjacent. It abuts it.
It abuts it. They're managed by the same folks, though.
Right. That's a national monument.
It's a national monument, yeah. But they're basically together.
Yeah.
Like, see both while you're there,
yeah,
obviously.
Absolutely.
But the petrified wood there looks totally different than the petrified wood here.
Sure.
And it's just like, if you nerd out about petrified wood,
mm-hmm.
then I think you will really enjoy
mm-hmm.
the petrified wood experience here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly exposed the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. There's no shade here.
I would not do this trail in like,
the midday
summer. Mm-hmm. No, because you'll just die of heat.
You'll melt. But it would have
totally
to be a very
melt.
Windy day when we were there, so that helped.
And we were doing it at 6 a.m.
Yeah. It was still sunny. There were elements of strenuous here, for sure. There was a lot of incline and decline happening. And then when you get to the middle, it's sort of like a triangle, this trail. When you get to the middle segment of the triangle, it's pretty flat because you're on grassland.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing here is that, like, later when you're driving the park road at certain viewpoints, you're actually looking over to this.
Yeah.
And like, that was something that we discovered when we were on the park loop road and looking at the map. So,
as you'll see when you look at the map, there are a ton of trails off of the South Unit Park Loop Road.
Mm-hmm.
And those trails are great, and those trails take you through a lot of different things. We had started this day by doing a separate trail, which was a long trail, which was recommended by the Moon Travel Guide in this section of the park. That was in the National Park Unit, but it had to be accessed via a different parking lot. So it couldn't be accessed via the South Unit Park Loop Road.
No, there was like a little bit of...
Dirt road.
Dirt ranchy road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we did it and it was great. But speaking of, let's talk about the South Unit Park Loop Road.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend.
Absolutely.
It's the thing that most people do when they go to Teddy Roosevelt National Park.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that they recommend doing.
Because you're going to see a lot of wildlife, for sure.
And that includes
pronghorns, bison,
prairie dogs,
wild horses. You'll see some birds too.
Oh, yeah. It's a great birding spot.
It is a great birding spot. But the park is really great because it offers such a sampler platter of, to use the term again, of wildlife that you don't get to see very often.
No.
So
do go listen to our trail mix on the wildlife of Teddy Roosevelt National Park.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Wind Canyon Trail?
This was a short one. This is also sort of like it's a longer one of the jut off trails off the Park Loop Road. But this was nice because you get a view of Wind Canyon immediately and the Little Missouri River, and then you do a decent ascent, kind of like up an outcropping of rock, and then come back down and loop around that outcropping to come back. So it was a nice short trail to just get a sense for the surrounding area.
What about the Boy Court Overlook?
Well, this was interesting because I felt like it was, you could kind of get a sense of the, just from the overlook, but then there was the trail that you could go further out. And this was I believe off to the right side of the Park Loop Road.
Correct.
So you were kind of walking out on a fin, and you got some really cool views
of the
valley below, and then all of the formation that sort of made up what was this butte or mesa that you were sort of on top of.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Highly recommend doing that.
The Colvane Trail is also a wonderful trail that is also interpretive, which is cool because you can learn what the terror is of Colvane fires, because this landscape in this section of the park, specifically on this trail, was a byproduct of a Colvane fire and then subduction.
And then,
which isn't something that happens in the bedroom.
Subduction.
Subduction.
the thing about the Coal Vein Trail that I loved the most, it was really putting you inside of the like rolling green hills mm-hmm. that are dotted with trees.
But like, this is a totally different landscape in the park too.
Oh my God. And it's such a special landscape.
Yeah.
I remember just saying like, it's so green. I had no idea it was going to be like this.
Yep.
And then seriously rolling hills with just like only a few trees here and there.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing to be inside.
Also exposed. Like really there's not a trail that you're on.
There's no forest.
There is. Well, you get a little bit of that on our next trail, which is the Caprock Coulee Trail.
A little bit of coverage.
Yeah, a little bit. Which is a nature trail, but also interpretive and also
and it's in the North
wonderful.
Unit.
It is a wonderful trail. It is in the North Unit, so this is something we did on our second day. And Caprock Coulee takes you and shows you so many different geological formations within the park and really explains them to you in a really great way.
We dig into that in the episode about those trails.
Mm-hmm.
And
rivulets.
All mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Yeah. We go in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, highly recommend. What about the North Achenbach Trail?
Well, this was something that the Caprock Coulee Trail brought us to.
Yeah.
We ended up going to, we kept calling it the Red Bend Overlook, but it's the River Bend Overlook Corrections Corner.
Yeah.
And that's like sort of where Caprock Coulee can kind of leave you. And this is where this trail starts. Now, this was our tough trail here for sure. This was strenuous on a lot of, for a lot of reasons. The descent down into the canyon, valley, sort of.
That was so much fun.
It was
fun,
but it was exposed and it was hot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The trail itself is really, really cool. It is a trail, though, to not do in the middle of the day.
No, we were doing it in the middle of the day.
To do early because it takes you out to another overlook, which is escaping me at the moment. And there was the thought that you could see bighorn sheep out there. There's so many cool rock formations here. You're going through dry riverbeds. You're, you know, just walking along through these areas that look like it was almost volcanic based off of how the rock formations look. It's very, very interesting and weird. It's a weird landscape here. I wish that we had finished it, but obviously on a trail, if something is going wrong, then obviously the reason to turn around is even more so important than to continue going, which is what we made a smart decision to do.
It's true. Mm-hmm. No, I wish we could have finished it too.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'm sure we'll get back and we'll finish it.
Yeah. And that's like a very long, that's actually, there's the North Achenbach and then there's like, I think the South Achenbach. I think they connect. Like you can do a long
next
trail.
Time, what I think we could do when we return mm-hmm. is actually, so get there very early, 6, 7 a.m.
And maybe not in June, July.
Maybe not in June, July. Park at the Riverbend Overlook.
And walk. Yeah.
And then just start from there.
Yeah.
And then descend into the canyon, walk all the way across the canyon to that overlook to see the bighorns. Mm-hmm. And if it's early, that's probably when they're going to be out. And then come back.
Yeah.
Because, it's totally exposed.
Yeah.
And like I'm in a lot better hiking shape right now than I was when I was doing it then.
2 years ago. Yeah.
2 years ago. That moment definitely sort of went, hi, do you want to keep doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe we need to condition ourselves a little bit better. Sure. And so, there was, you can hear about it in that episode all about the North Achenbach Trail where I fully overheated.
Yeah.
And then I had to be airlifted out.
That's not at all true.
That's not at all true. No joke. We're not joking about being airlifted out.
No.
So yeah. Okay. Signage in Teddy Roosevelt National Park. Mm. Not a ton of signage.
No.
I will say the interpretive signage.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, we had an interpretive, they were interpretive pamphlets. There wasn't signage.
Well, for Caprock Coulee, certainly.
Coal Vein didn't have any at the time.
It's true.
I think that's great. I love that they had that. But there wasn't there was the sign at the front of the Petrified Forest Loop where we were uncertain of whether we should hike it.
That is true. That was a little unsure. We didn't know. Yeah. There was a sign that said this trail closed, but it didn't have a date on it.
It didn't.
And we were like,
but there were plenty of cars in the parking lot already.
We were like, maybe it's not. It doesn't.
We did a thing that was maybe, the ranger was like, oh, then you're fine. Like when we talked to her later.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Whoops.
Best view for you.
The best view for me is probably, I think it's from the Riverbend Overlook when we started the
great overlook.
When we started the Achenbach Trail.
There's a gazebo there. And it's
that's from the
so
CCC.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back to what I said before, the Rolling Hills in the Colvain Trail.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fairly easy loop to do and it's short and, but the views inside of it are so cool.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think you also get, that's also interpretive. It's great. It's a great trail and I see why you feel that way. I get it. Mm-hmm. And what about your favorite trail here?
Favorite trail? Oh, that's tough.
Mine is, to help you, is the Petrified Forest Loop. Mm-hmm. I think that's my favorite because there's a lot happening here. I really enjoyed the challenge of it and also the views and the landscape changes.
I think as far as like the adventure trails that feel like big adventures, that one definitely takes the cake for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite too. It's really good.
It's a great trail.
Had we finished North Achenbach, I might have a different answer, but it is what it is. Okay, so what special award are you giving to the trails of Theodore Roosevelt National Park?
I'm giving it the Hot, Hot, Hot Award.
Oh, okay.
People in the party, hot, hot, hot.
There you go.
Go to the party and what we got. You know that song, right?
I do.
Yeah. That I feel like informed my gay youth. I feel like that song was something I loved. And I'm like, I think this is a pretty queer song.
Oh, what song informed your gay youth? That's a great question. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that and Private Dancer.
Yeah.
I mean, those definitely were truly my my gay youth songs.
Yeah.
This is a different story that we're taking right now.
Okay. I've got two answers to this question.
Uh-huh.
We're going down the road.
Great.
Well, one was Locomotion by Kylie.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Okay. So, and then also Roll to Me by Delamitri. Look around the world, pretty baby.
Oh, yeah.
Is it everything?
Yeah.
That they used in the Flipper movie.
Mm.
Can I tell you, I thought that song was by Hootie and the Blowfish for
so long. Yeah, it could
be.
It
is not by Hootie and the Blowfish.
And it's also because you had a giant crush on Elijah Wood.
Well, yes. Some things never change. Yes.
My precious.
I still have a crush on Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
So they used that song in the Flipper movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, I'm obsessed with this song. Right. And then my cousins and I went to every single CD store and like we looked on every single Hootie and the Blowfish album. And like we bought at least three of them because we were like, I think that's the song. I think that's it. Based entirely just on the title on the back of the
pre-internet.
CD. Pre-internet.
Pre-internet
living. We had to
actually
buy the music in order to hear it. And we were like, nope. I ended up giving all the albums to my dad who loved Hootie and the Blowfish. Mm-hmm. And then we had to call a radio station to find out the name of we did. My mom is the one who did. She was like, I'm tired of
your obsession.
Doing this.
Yeah.
She called the radio station and she like had to sing a little bit of the song to them in order for them to be like, oh, that's Roll to Me by Delamitri. And then we were able to go to the store and buy the Delamitri album that had it. Meanwhile,
I listened to it once and then I threw it out.
At no point did we ever consider buying the soundtrack for Flipper.
Oh, okay. Well,
right?
Yeah.
Man. Whatever.
I feel like now we're really in it. I'm like, I feel like I bought a lot of soundtracks as a youth. And I'm like,
I did too. They were great.
Why? Like, it's such a funny thing now.
But
like,
it was, I mean, obviously it was another way to just make sales. But like,
it's just interesting to me. I went on a date with someone who was like, I really love movie soundtracks. And I'm like, oh, well, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, that's the music I exclusively listen to. And I'm like, Okay. That's interesting.
Well, yeah. And I'm sure they were like, the Garden State soundtrack is like my entire life. And that's when that's a
identity.
Red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Anyway,
I'm giving
Theodore Roosevelt National Park the Hot, Hot, Hot Award because that's what I felt like when I was there. And I feel like because there's limited shade and coverage, you are, you know, again, obviously we experience it at a specific time of the year, but I do feel like that is my experience with the park in the summer. Hot, hot, hot.
Cool. And also, yes.
And gay.
And gay. I'm giving it the Know Your Place Award. And the reason I'm giving it this is because I feel like this park, similar to other parks, like particularly I'm thinking Yellowstone, can be a huge learning moment for a visitor
sure.
to remember who you are and know what your place is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much wildlife in this park.
Yeah.
And knowing what to do in regards to being around and near wildlife is so important. And this is a park where you really get to remember your place and know what to do so that you can stay safe and the wildlife can stay safe.
Absolutely.
Because they are up close and personal. Mm-hmm. This is why we go to Theodore Roosevelt National Park to see this wildlife.
Yeah.
But we are visitors to their space.
Absolutely.
And so touching wildlife is never okay, ever, in any kind of way. So do not do it. You do not have any kind of special gift given to you by above about like your ability to connect with wildlife.
No.
That is not a real. I don't know what you saw as a child that made you believe you could, but do not touch wildlife
do
at all
touch.
In any way. In any
do
way.
Not touch.
No.
No.
Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Okay, so let's move on to Badlands National Park.
Great. Badlands is not a park where there are a plethora of trails, is what we'll say.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have said it is possible to take in everything that, every way to engage with Badlands National Park
in
a single day.
Right.
I mean, sure, you could, of course,
stretch
it over a couple of days. And we did not go to the other section of the park, the more southern section of the park. That would be very interesting to go to. I believe it was closed at the time.
Sure.
Would definitely go there next time if possible.
Sure.
But in this sort of main area, you can take in everything, every way to engage in one day.
Yeah.
And that includes hiking trails,
driving
a park
visitor
road,
center,
exactly, all of that stuff.
Yeah. So let's start with the Cliff Shelf Nature Trail, because that's kind of the first thing you're going to experience when you drive into the park from the interior entrance. Interior is the town near Badlands. This is a great quick trail, starts with some boardwalk, there's some steps to ascend. It's definitely a trail that there's a little ascent beyond the boardwalk too, like when you're on the actual trail, but it's great and you get like to see some weird views. You also get a glimpse up into the Notch Trail's terminal point, which we didn't really understand until we did that, but that was kind of nice. So you get to see the end of something that you'll potentially hike later on. There was like a beware of snake sign at the end, not facing the direction
that
we were hiking. So that was, you know, that was something.
Cliff Shelf was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great sort of...
It's a little trail.
Little trail.
A lot of these trails are little trails.
Sort of introduction to what's happening at Badlands as far as hiking goes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk next about the Window Trail.
The Window Trail is even shorter.
Very short.
It's There's like boardwalk to then very flat kind of Badlands soil out to like a viewpoint.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. It's a great way to take it in.
You're looking into the door section that you, again, may also hike.
That's right.
That's right.
And then a lot of that was wheelchair accessible.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few boardwalks here that are,
mm-hmm.
or parts and sections that are.
Yes.
So the door trail, this is a trail that's sort of like they've got got markers that you can follow.
Right. Well, it starts off with, from the parking lot, a boardwalk that takes you to a terminal viewpoint, and that's where you could stop, a very accessible part of the trail. And then from there, you can go down into like kind of this craggy, raviney, badlandy, canyony area that has the markers that you can follow. And this was fun.
This was
fun.
But
it was short.
Yeah, it was short.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, there wasn't a ton to do.
No.
But we got to all the markers. We read all the signs. Yeah. We made it back safely.
Yeah.
And then we went directly to do the Notch Trail.
Mm-hmm.
The Notch Trail is also not long, but it's the thing that has the ladder.
Yeah.
The rope ladder, where it's like the famous rope ladder that everybody sees in all the photos mm-hmm. of hiking in Badlands. It starts on a boardwalk. It goes in between some formations. This is where we got to see some bighorn sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Surprise.
Surprise.
It was great.
That sort of like took off, and a little bighorn baby.
Yeah.
And then we got to the rope ladder. We climbed up to the top of the rope ladder. We walked along the ridge here and then out to a viewpoint. Short. I think it was a mile and change in total.
This is where my disappointed dad.
Oh, I wanted there to be more.
I did.
You did.
I
know you did.
Like all of these trails, I'm like, oh.
Here's the
thing. There was more.
Hiking in Capitol Reef National Park was such fun and so like...
Turned your brain on in lots of different ways.
Was just like all of the ways, like the formations there and the mesas there and like all of that there are just so much fun.
Yeah.
And like all the trails get on top of them and around them and through them and all that kind of stuff. And so it feels like that's what's going to happen here on the Notch
that's
Trail.
That's what's going to happen.
But it is not what happens.
No. It's a little bit of that and then it ends. It's a great trail. It's one to do. It's not the most accessible, obviously, because of a ladder, but it's cool. You get to look over the Cliff Shelf Nature Trail at the end.
It's true.
I mean, look at me sell it, guys. I'm so excited. But it is sort of the trail to do. And then we did like a bigger
loop.
This is sort of like what is left over to hike in the park.
It's true.
Listen, like all of the hiking trails are literally in the same spot.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to drive
from
far.
The same spot.
Like, so this is,
we parked in one place.
Yeah.
And we were able
to
do all
not
of
for
those.
Cliff Shelf. Cliff Shelf, we had a
Cliff
move.
Shelf is different, but
it's not that
else.
Far from this. So the Castle Trail, the Medicine Route Trail, and the Saddle Pass Trail sort of are like a triangle too. Like they're like long arms. So like Castle Trail, you can actually hike like from one end from the parking lot where we parked for Window Door and Notch all the way out past Saddle Pass Trail. And there's another end point there. The Medicine Route Trail sort of juts off of the Castle Trail.
Yeah.
And then Saddle Pass is really short, which takes you up to kind of a terminal viewpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
We made all of this a loop.
We did. Yeah.
Which isn't hard to do on a map.
No.
Castle Trail and Medicine Route Trail, generally speaking, are pretty flat.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of incline or decline, but it's all exposed here.
Yeah.
But you're behind a bunch of formations, in front of formations. I mean, there's formations on all sides. And then the Saddle Pass Trail is sort of like a go up. It's not, I wouldn't even call it a grunt, but it is going upwards towards.
It's like an outcropping.
A viewpoint.
Basically. Yeah.
You know?
You can climb up from, the Saddle Pass Trail actually goes down from this point to a parking lot. So you could climb up to this point from the other side to do the viewpoint and climb back down. And some people were doing that. And I was like, glad that we weren't doing that.
It's true. I was glad we weren't either.
Yeah.
And then we have the Badlands Scenic Drive.
Right. And here's the thing. It's like there's plenty of overlooks to stop at. We didn't stop at all of them.
There's so many. And a lot of them have great interpretive signage.
They do.
Especially
and even like
the fossil,
signage.
Yeah, the fossil overlook.
Yes. And there's also signage about like air quality and like what it's like. And this is seen in a lot of national parks. Like, this is what we used to be able to see in 1978 from here and, like, now today. And this is all because air quality has changed. And I'm like, yeah, girl, because the earth's dying.
Yeah. Something I think is very important about engaging with Badlands National Park is understanding the geological, background of this area. Understanding that this was... it's covered in fossils because it was at the bottom of the Western Interior Seaway.
Mm-hmm.
There are the formations are all different pieces of sediment that have like different kinds of creatures for fossils inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding all of that will inform everything you're seeing while you pull off on the scenic drive.
Yeah.
Because like the scenic drive is designed so that you can get a really good viewpoint of like this specific thing that's in the formations.
Yeah.
Every pull off is a spectacular view. There's not a single view from these pull offs that are not. It's truly spectacular.
Yeah.
So highly recommend that.
Yeah.
Always. And also like, you know, go to the visitor center. Enjoy the visitor center. Enjoy the fossil lab.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that in visitorship and that summit. So
yeah.
And also all over the episodes that we did on the Badlands trails.
Yeah. Yeah.
So signage.
I actually feel like Badlands did some good work here. They had trail signs at the beginning of each trailhead, and most of the trails, especially if you were going out into the Badlands landscape, had trail markers. And that includes not just the Door Trail area, but the Medicine Route and the Castle Trail had like trail markers for you to follow. So you, there was no way that you could, I'm sure there's a way that someone could get lost, but it made it clear to where the trail was. So I do feel like they did a great job there. And any of the other trails were kind of too short to have like markers or signage. So I do feel like they did a good job when it came to guiding you.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Best view is very hard for me, but this is what I'm going to say is I think my favorite view is the Yellow Mounds off of the pull-off. It's a stopping point on the scenic road.
Yeah.
There are so many great views from the scenic road. I'm just saying, everybody, like, do the scenic road. If you do nothing else, just show up and do the scenic road.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think mine is Saddle Pass, because I'm like, oh, we got some actual height here and we could see into the distance.
So special.
Mm-hmm. And what about your favorite hike?
Favorite hike. I'm going to say the Notch Trail, even though it's short.
Me too.
And the ladder. But it was fun.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. And what award are you giving it?
The award. Okay, actually, here we go. I'm giving Badlands National Park the Miss Frizzle Award because Miss Frizzle from Magic School Bus, mm-hmm. I feel like would take the students, like it's perfect for like a Magic School Bus adventure already.
Yeah,
because there's so much to learn. And like Badlands is a place to go to learn and understand about fossils beyond just dinosaurs,
mm-hmm.
and how fossils are something that are not just connected to dinosaurs. They're connected to so many things.
Yeah.
And that there are fossils all around us. And Badlands is such a great example of that. And I feel like they've made it. It's an educational experience no matter what direction you take from it.
Sure.
And you take it from, you know what I mean? Or you experience it from. Like you're going to get understanding of the different formations and the different fossils and all the different things.
Yeah.
So the Miss Frizzle Award.
Mine is the No Big Deal, I Want More Award. Yeah. Because I'm like, God, I just like, this was such a park where it was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And then it was over. And I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the No Big Deal, I Want More could also be the Disappointed Dad Award.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the life I lead. Disappointment.
It's true.
Another disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
Okay, and now let's move to our fourth and final park of the season. Also, I love how, and we're so consistent about this, except for season four, we were actually...
There was a bug.
Okay. We were actually like spot on for season four, but I love how we announced at the beginning of the season, like, oh, we're going to do
all these parks
in this season. And then we don't end up getting to all of them. So like, sorry, Mammoth Cave.
Yeah.
Next season.
We'll see you next season.
You will see
Mammoth Cave next season.
Oh, and how special that will be.
Mm-hmm.
But now here we are in Indiana Dunes.
It's true. Yeah.
The final park of this season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about the trails here.
So the trails here are interesting because we hiked in two different parts. We've hiked in the state park and the national park, which you should do. Like,
it's, and are abutted and basically the same place.
I love that abutted is the word of the season.
So yeah.
Abutted.
There you go.
The trails of Indiana Dunes National Park. So let's talk about the state park trails first. The 9, 10, and 2 trails specifically to get us started. These are trails that give you a really great sense of the shifting landscape and biodiversity within the park. There's so many things happening here. You're getting to experience dunes and blowouts, and you're getting to walk along the shores of Lake Michigan. You're in deep green forest that just happens to be here at the lakeside. You go through wetlands and marshes, and it's just very, very cool.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I found my interest was very wrapped here when it came to what was happening in the state park on the 9, 10, and 2 trail.
It's hard to talk about 9, 10, and 2 separately.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're kind of interconnected, and
yep.
we used them to make a loop and loved it. Would yeah. do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're totally right in that it creates, that loop allowed us to see so much biodiversity mm-hmm. so quickly, so early on.
Yeah.
We got such a sense of, like, what Indiana Dunes really is
yep.
immediately.
Yeah.
So we highly recommend doing 9, 10, and 2 that way.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I loved it. And I would say, yeah, everybody do it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the 3 Dune Challenge, which is a thing that they always say, like, definitely
yeah.
do this.
Yeah. This is also in the state park. This was hiking up the 3 tallest dunes on the lake shore here. It was Mount Jackson, Mount Holden, and Mount Tom, and successively in order getting taller. This was great. This was grunt work because it's inclined yes. in sand until you get to Mount Tom, where you get a reprieve and you're upstairs. You're on a boardwalk stairs
it's true.
System. But yeah, this was great. This was the strenuous part, I think, of our hiking within the park. Within both, I would say. Like, I feel
yeah,
like this is
town.
Where
this
I felt like, oh, okay, this is where we're getting strenuous. So yeah.
And the 3 Dune Challenge is made so that you can do it and time yourself and challenge your own time.
Sure, sure.
Let's talk about Dare of the Dunes.
Dare of the Dunes is, had a very similar feel to 3 Dune Challenge.
At least in the third section yeah. of the 3 Dune Challenge, that was full of boardwalks.
Yeah.
There's quite a few boardwalks here that are mm-hmm. stairs that go up and over and down and around dunes,
mm-hmm.
now, which is super fun.
In Dare of the Dunes, we are in the national park now. So
yeah.
this is in the West Beach section of the national park. This was great. I loved it. It was also somewhat interpretive. This was cool because you're in on the boardwalk in these very foresty areas too, but you're right along the lake shore. There was a lot to love about this, and it brings you along the lake at the end to sort of a section of beach that people use as a beach. So we were there early before anyone had kind of done that. But yeah, it was a great trail to experience within the park.
Okay, so the Bog Trail.
Yeah.
This was one that was recommended to us by the ranger mm-hmm. while waiting to do a tour at the
Bailey
Homestead.
Yeah.
So the Bog Trail is a mostly flat
yep.
trail that goes around a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. It
yeah.
was great. It was a great way to take in another kind of piece of the biodiversity
yeah.
here
yeah.
at Indiana Dunes. It was very green. There was a whole part through like a canopy of like very green, lush
mm-hmm.
forest. Highly recommend.
Yeah. And also, again, this is a park just like New River Gorge where the communities are sort of enmeshed within the park or right around them. So you're kind of getting that. And this is also an interesting park in that there is industry like right at the doorstep
oh, yeah.
of the park.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating. And you get to see some of that here. And then the Bailey Homestead was also something that was around the Bog Trail, which was a guided tour. You could do it yourself mm-hmm. for sure, but
and
it was
there
nice
are
to
trails.
Have. Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're mostly flat through forest, but there are definitely different things to see, like the actual homestead proper, the burial ground area, which is fascinating and interesting, especially in its story. Go listen to that episode
mm-hmm.
to hear all about that. There's a farm that with working animals, the animals are working, a working farm with animals
mm-hmm.
There too, all of which, you know, you can get up close to and whatnot. I think it was probably like a 2 to 3 mile situation in the Bailey Homestead area,
mm-hmm.
but mostly flat forested trails.
Yeah, yeah.
And lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And then also on the West Beach section of the park near the Dare of the Dunes or the Dune Succession Appalachian Trail is the Long Lake Trail and the West Beach Loop. And this you can kind of create a giant loop with. And Long Lake was really interesting. It's a lot of grunt work at the start because you leave from the parking lot area and you head up this giant dune. And then you're in the woods, which you do have a little bit of ascent and descent here, but it's relatively nominal. And then you do cross the park road again and then head up ascent along Long Lake, which is a beautiful view into this kind of wetland area. And then the West Beach Trail sort of does the same thing. It takes you along the lake, which is great. I thought that this was also a little bit of, there were some strenuous parts of this, but for the most part, it was a great way to also experience what the park had to offer as far as biodiversity.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Okay. How was the signage here in Indiana Dunes? I particularly remember the signage in the Three Dune Challenge had great signage because it told us all about like each dune and its namesake and whatnot. Yeah. The interpretive signage, nailing it. Yeah, I would say.
I do feel like the 9, 10, and 2 was good to a point, and then we got to the beach when we came over the beach house blowout and didn't know where to go. Like, I felt like there was a little bit of point of confusion, but they did have pretty good signs there. When it came to the national park, I don't really... Dare of the Dunes had some interpretive signage, but I don't remember anything. I mean, it wasn't hard to, again, you weren't in the middle of, like, the woods. Like, it wasn't like when we were on the Fairy Falls Folly Trail that we were on.
Oh, in
where we totally got lost, even though it looked like a trail. Like, there weren't too many places for you to go. It was pretty straightforward. So, they didn't really need a crazy amount of signage.
True.
Yeah. What about the best views?
I really like the view of Lake Michigan from on top of Mount Baldy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which we didn't really talk about in this summit particularly, but it's not really a trail. It's sort of just like a thing to go up and over to see the beach. I really like that view from there. What about you?
I think my favorite was, honestly, from the Long Lake, the top of the crest of that hill, and being able to see the wetlands like that. I mean, it's either that or it's the wetlands within the state park that we just happened upon I think it was the two trail at that point. And that was incredible. What about your favorite hike in the park?
I think it's the 9, 10, and 2 loop that we did was just such a great way to like get a micro dose of everything in this area.
Yeah.
And so this was my favorite loop that we did. What about you?
I would say the same. I mean, I think it's not the national park, but it's right there and it's a beautiful trail system. And I do feel like it was a great experience within the area that we were in for Indiana Dunes.
Love it. Okay, what special award are you giving to the Trails of Indiana Dunes?
The Trails of Indiana Dunes are getting the Wet for Wetlands Award.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
Because...
You're giving a lot of wet awards.
Because I'm soaking. Because I am soaking right now.
It's true.
Soaking wet. Because this was a park where I really feel like we got to experience wetlands, and we really haven't had that experience before.
Because we haven't gone to Everglades.
No. 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 And we'll see about that.
We'll see when we get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we're even allowed to go.
There it is.
Yeah. Honey, the queen of the night knows no boundaries.
She knows no boundaries.
But yeah, I feel like this was a park, again, where water was super important. You know, it was either wetlands or it was Lake Michigan. But I do feel like the biodiversity that comes from wetlands is so important and was for such a long time so misunderstood. So I feel like wetlands are unbelievably important resource when it comes to the natural world and how processes in the natural world work and for the biodiversity that they're able to support. And I feel like there's not enough education on wetlands and their importance. So I feel like it deserves this award.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it the Family Stone Award.
Well, because it's a bait and switch and you cry at the end.
And switch, right? I mean, I feel like that term has become a verb, right? To be family stoned, meaning like...
Not getting high with your loved ones, but...
No, not getting high with your loved ones, but the idea of advertising something as one thing and then you show up and it's actually something totally different. Bait and switch, right, is one way to describe it. But I think Family Stone is a little bit better because The Family Stone was a movie that was advertised in the early aughts starring Sarah Jessica Parker and Diane Keaton and Rachel McAdams.
And Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, and so many others. It was advertised advertised like a romantic family comedy.
At Christmas time. And it was sad.
And it was not. It was like kitchen sink drama. Mm-hmm. Like if I've ever seen one mm-hmm. before. It was so sad. It was. However, for this Indiana Dunes, I was expecting beaches and dunes, but we got wetlands and biodiversity.
Yeah.
And it was all such a surprise.
Yeah. And now let's end this episode with a queen and a game.
All right. This is a queen we came up with recently in our mm-hmm. trip to Acadia. Mm-hmm. So, Thaddeus and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Laura Dern Tootin.
Laura Dern Tootin. Mm-hmm. It's the before and after queen.
She is a before and after queen. She's a fart queen. I feel like she's got to be. She references Laura Dern, but there's like whoopee cushions everywhere in her act.
So it's all fart jokes.
Yes, it's all fart jokes.
Laura Dern Tootin is mm-hmm. fart jokes.
Yep.
I love a fart mm-hmm. joke, mm-hmm. but they're well-timed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I feel like, yeah, she has Laura Dern references, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but...
Can a woman get a minute? Yep, just
well,
like
I
that.
Well, I mean, also like mm-hmm. there's that clip of Laura Dern in Jurassic Park where she's like digging through the poop.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
I feel like that plays like, in somewhere.
That's what she breaks out of it like a cake at the beginning of her act.
That's right.
Like a cake with a erotic dancer.
But it's just a giant like
just a pile of poop.
A giant pile of dino poop.
Yeah. Dino DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Laura Dern Tootin. So it's like fart jokes extraordinaire.
I like
love that.
It. Mm-hmm. I like that mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. I feel like she would lip sync to like Blown Away by Carrie Underwood. mm-hmm. What else does she do?
She also lip syncs to She's Like the Wind.
Yes.
Through the Trees.
Wind Beneath My Wings.
Uh-huh. All the wind related
songs.
Comedy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I think she gives out whoopee cushions as her merch.
I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I think it's great because you know what? Everybody farts and oh my God, it's the funniest thing.
Everybody farts.
Laura Dern Tootin. She's the fart queen.
Sometimes.
Exactly.
So, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Laura Dern Tootin.
So since Laura Dern Tootin is a before and after queen, we are playing some before, during, and after.
Oh,
that's
it's
right.
It's been a really, now this I can say, it has been a very long time.
It has
time.
Been.
We haven't been writing before and after, before, during, and after categories.
I
of
know,
late.
But I
and
thought,
so
why
great.
Not? They're so satisfying when you get them. Uh-huh. So this is called Before, During, and After Appetizer Sampler.
Great.
So it's all coming together. We got the appetizer sampler, Laura Dern Tootin, wet our whistle for before and after.
For wetlands. And
exactly. So here we go. Are you ready?
Wet and wild.
For 100. This liquid appetizer that is served warm and is green in color is made from cheese and two different vegetables, one made popular by the character Popeye. The phrase one might use to say that they are going for a swim in the artificial body of water, and the large piece of furniture one plays on when they are trying to not scratch the eight ball.
What is spinach dip in the pool table?
That is correct.
Okay,
I would have also accepted spinach and artichoke dip in the pool table.
Okay, great.
So everybody, that's what before and during and after is. Mm-hmm. So we've got spinach and artichoke dip in the pool table, mm-hmm. all combined into one phrase. Mm-hmm. Okay, for 200. The circular appetizer that is a battered and fried allium. The Amazon series that is a continuation of the J.R.R. Tolkien universe. And what you plug into the wall so that an appliance can receive electricity.
What is an onion ring of power cord?
That's right. Yeah. Onion ring of power or onion rings of power cord. Mm-hmm. Okay, for 300. The delicious cheesy appetizer that is battered and fried up as small batons. The phrase a director might say if the actor decides to invent their own lines during an audition. And the secret Hollywood job some people have to improve screenplays for pay but not credit.
Well, what does mozzarella stick to the script? Fluffer?
What is mozzarella stick to the script doctor?
Oh, a script doctor.
A script doctor comes in, improves it for money, but no credit.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, for 400.
But script fluffer is pretty
script
good.
Script fluffer is pretty good.
I don't think they get any credit either.
No. The appetizer that is Dusty's love language and often accompanied by guacamole or salsa. The phrase that describes how a child is similar to a parent. And a school word to describe a semester where classes are twice as long but only taken for half of the year.
What is tortilla chip off the block scheduling?
That's correct, yes. Or tortilla chip off the old block schedule. Mm-hmm. Right. And for 500. The appetizer that is named for an animal that it most certainly did not derive from, but more so from the sauce that covers it. The phrase that means to make it up and figure it out in the moment. And the phrase that essentially says, there's nothing anyone can do, just have to accept the situation at face value.
What is buffalo wing? It is what it is.
That's right. That's right. Buffalo Great. Wing it is what it is.
And that's our season 5, everybody.
That is season 5, everybody.
Right.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure. So lots of things that, you know, to look forward to for next season. Some amazing parks that we're excited about.
Some amazing guests.
Some amazing, amazing guests that we've already experienced and interviewed. Lots of things for season 6.
Right. So stay tuned. We're going to take a little bit of a break for a while.
Yeah, this and is mostly our just normalcy. You know?
Mostly sleep.
Yeah.
I think.
Hibernate for the summer.
For a little bit.
I mean, we're gonna padum, and
that's
then
right.
We'll be back.
And then we will be back.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like
mid-September.
Mid to late September.
It's usually our,
when we return.
Yes.
So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back soon. This has been season 5, everybody, of Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that padam is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.